Amen. I believe in an unchanging God who is the very definition of love and grace in an always changing world. I believe in an unchanging God in an always changing world. And what this means is that I believe that God loves every single one of us as individuals. God created you, gave you breath, gave you life. God created you. And God loves us as a group. And so I believe that the love of God is present, the grace of God is present inside of us as a group, inside of us as a church, inside of this group as a community, inside of our families, that God loves us when we're gathered together also. And then I believe in the words of Paul when he says, we are all children of God. When in our baptisms we have put on Christ, we clothe ourselves with Christ. And as we clothe ourselves with Christ, we love like Christ. And this means that there is no difference. There is no Jew nor Greek. There is no slave nor free. There is no male nor female. This I believe. So what does that mean? What does that mean? It means that we talk about how then does God affect us? How does God move us, change us, when everything around us is changing? I absolutely believe that each of us contains God, our understandings of God, in our own God box. This is necessary. We have to understand God in this box because God is so huge, so complex, such a mystery that we have to draw our own boundaries. This is what God, who God is. This is what God does, and this is how God does it. This is normal. This is what we all do. But there comes a point in our lives when God is too big for the box, and we need to make that box bigger and have a deeper understanding of that. This is what Paul is all about today. How is it that we are able to understand that we are all children of God? And that there is no separation between us. There is no Jew nor Greek, no slave nor free, no male nor female. We are all children of God. I love this story. I love this story that is found inside of the Gospel of John and Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Jesus fed the people. I love the sense of humor that it comes as Jesus says to his disciples, okay, you can go ahead and feed them now, and the disciples have not a clue what to do with that. What do you mean we feed them? How would we do that? We don't have that money. We don't have that food. We can't do this. And everybody was fed. Everybody was fed. There was no one who was excluded on that day. We are all children of God. And time again, Jesus demonstrates this. Even when systems change, you know what? There are times in our lives, all of our lives, when the systems in which we live change. Our families change. Our communities change. Our schoolrooms change. Our businesses change. Our church changes. Our systems change. And God walks with us in the middle of that. All right, let me tell you about 1917. So Colleen and I went down to Denver together years and years ago as I was going to seminary, and Colleen was in school for her master's in piano, and we started searching for a new church. And we went to one church that was near us. Oh my goodness, it was exciting, alive, and vibrant. The next week we went to a huge church. It was amazing. The next week, the third week, we went to Evanston United Methodist. It was this little community church just a few blocks from where we lived. And we walked in the door, and there was something about that place that was just tangible in how it felt. I was home from minute one. I wouldn't have recognized her, but on that Sunday, you know how we have chairs out on coming into the sanctuary? There was a pew coming into the sanctuary in that church, and on that pew was one of the church's grandmothers. She always got there early, and she always sat in that pew every single Sunday waiting for her family to get there, and then they would come in and sit together. Now, of course, I would have had no way of knowing that that was Lou Eichhorn, and Lou Eichhorn and I, over the next 3 years, would become great friends. She had lived in Denver for over 40 years, but before that, lo and behold, she was from North Dakota. Lou Eichhorn was from the German side of our United Methodist tradition. She was evangelical, United Brethren, evangelical to the core. And what was amazing was that she was old enough to be my grandmother, and that meant that there was a generation between us, and that meant that the people, the pastors that I looked up to and had been served by for years, were the pastors that she had helped to raise and train in. Many of those pastors had been at her supper table. And it was this amazing conversation to say, what? You know him? You know? And all these things that we had in common. Lou was a preacher's kid. Lou was Reverend Fisher's oldest daughter. Now, of course, you would have no idea who that was. Reverend Fisher was one of the Evangelische pastors, one of the evangelical pastors who started preaching in 1901. Lou was born in 1903, and as she grew up, she learned how to be that pastor's kid. There were no air conditioning units back then, and so Lou's job, when she was old enough, was to wash her father's cotton shirts each week, to dry them, to iron them, and get them ready. Her father needed 3 shirts to preach, because on a Sunday morning with 3 worship services, in that old Albert, Prince Albert wool coat and a tight tie, he sweat like a butcher. And what that meant was that he had to change every worship service. That was Lou's job. And in 1917, Reverend Fisher was appointed to the Lehr Evangelische Kirche, the Lehr Evangelical Church, in Lehr, North Dakota. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in the heart of North and South Dakota is a triangle. It begins with Aberdeen, and then it runs up and across South Dakota and up into North Dakota. It's all the way up into Harvey and Rugby. And in the heart of this German-Russian triangle is Lehr, North Dakota. You don't get any more German than Lehr. And in 1917, Reverend Fisher went to the church elders and asked their permission to preach in English. The answer was no, 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 and no, and quit asking. And he wouldn't quit asking until finally they said, fine, you can preach in English. On the 5th Sunday of each month. For 15 minutes, that's it. And it will be the 15 minutes before church starts. And so they reacted in 2 ways. Either those people who normally came early quit coming early, and they only came right on time when real church started. Or they came early at their regular time and sat and grumbled all the way through that sermon. Now, you and I get to laugh at that and to say, really? What's the big deal? This is not a big deal. Oh, no, 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 no. This was huge. And that congregation had no idea how huge it was. It was 1917. We had just entered into World War I against the Germans. You remember in 2001 when the Twin Towers fell, and all of a sudden anyone and everyone who was Muslim in this country was instantly a suspect and instantly was put on a watch list, if not by the government, by our neighbors. Well, it was the exact same thing. This is what happened in World War I. Reverend Fisher got this right away. He understood it. He knew that anybody who was regularly speaking German and refusing to speak English was going to be suspect, was going to be prejudiced, was going to have prejudice against them, because if you're speaking German, you must be an ally of the Germans, which of course wasn't true at all. But that's what he was up against. And so Reverend Fisher said, the system's got to change. And it did. Now today, if you go up to Laird, North Dakota, you can still speak German very, very easily. But they worship in English, because systems changed. And what was so amazing was that God walked with them. God walked with them through all of that. This is what I'm talking about. When things change, we need to realize that God can be unbound, that when things are changing, what it's suggesting is that our boxes are too small and that God is there to enlarge the boxes, this huge God that is such a mystery and is asking us now to expand our concepts of what it means to be in love with each other. What does it mean? How do we do that? Well, let me tell you about systems changing. Did you know that about every 5 centuries inside our Christian tradition, there has been major, major shifting and systems changes? Jesus Christ died, was buried, and on the third day he rose. He was resurrected, and thus began the Christian movement. And these Jewish Christians began to meet, and the movement grew. And then came this man named Paul. And the Apostle Paul had the unbelievable, unmitigated audacity to write these words in his letter to the Galatians. He said, "We are all children of God. And when we put on Christ in our baptisms, there will be no Jew, no Gentile." You and I hear those words and they mean nothing. Oh my gosh. To the Jews around Paul, this was a direct slap in the face. What do you mean there is no Jew or no Gentile? No, 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 no. That's not how it works. This was an affront. This was a slap in the face to many of the Jews surrounding Paul. And then Paul had the unmitigated audacity to say, "In Christ, there is no slave nor free." This was a slap in the face to the Roman government, to the Roman way of doing things, because slavery was just an accepted part of their culture. And to say to an entire economic system, "In Christ there is no slave nor free." Unbelievable that he would say this. And then he says, "In Christ there is no male nor female." In a patriarchal culture that spanned every country around the Mediterranean Sea, this was a direct slap in the face to that patriarchal culture. These are not random words. These are fighting words. These are unbelievable. And the world changed. The systems changed. And Christianity exploded. And Christianity went out to the Gentiles. Now, flash forward with me 500 years. In the year 476, something that was the most ultimate disaster, or maybe the most ultimate success, happened. The Roman government fell. The most powerful empire that the world had ever known had been in control and ruling for over 1,000 years, crumbled. And all of a sudden, there was no Roman emperor. There was no Roman Senate. There was no central government. There was a huge power vacuum. Who stepped into that power vacuum? The church. Christianity had been the official religion of the Roman Empire for 160 years. And when the Roman emperor fell, they were positioned with a pope. And they had churches all the way through the entire monstrous empire. And they had priests who had been trained in central ways. They were perfectly positioned to step into this. And it's not that they became the rulers. They became the force and the power behind the rulers. Do you think that 500 years after Jesus Christ, that there was a shift and a change in how we did faith? Absolutely. The church radically changed, and Christianity exploded. Flash forward with me 500 years. Now we go to the year 1054. The church was monstrous. It stretched all the way from the northwest in Great Britain, all the way down through the entirety of Europe, through the Scandinavian countries, over into Russia, down into the Middle East, down into northern Africa. It was monstrous. There was no telecommunication. Everything moved slowly, and lo and behold, they could not hold it together. And so in 1054 happened the Great Schism. And the West now became controlled by the Roman Catholic Church with all of its belief systems and worship systems. And the East fractured and became its own power system with the church, the Orthodox Church. And for almost 1,000 years, the East and the West churches didn't talk to each other. It's only been in our lifetime that this has happened. Do you think that that made a difference? In effect, what the Orthodox Church was saying to the West and the Roman Catholics was, your God is too small. We need it to be more inclusive. We need it to be like this. And the Roman Catholic Church was saying to the Eastern Orthodox, your God is too small, and we need to make this bigger and include more. And even with the split, Christianity exploded, and we grew. Flash forward with me 500 years. I will speak to you two names to let you know just how deep and how radical this change was. Luther, Gutenberg. And Martin Luther, a Catholic priest in Wittenberg, Germany, on that day in October, took a hammer and nails and nailed 95 complaints against the Roman Catholic Church onto the door of the church. And the Protestant Reformation was born. It had been brewing for over a century, but now it exploded. And right there in that same time period was Gutenberg. You remember what Gutenberg did? He invented the printing press. Up to this point, if you wanted to have a look at the scriptures, you had to be literate, you had to be a trained priest, basically, because the only copies of scripture were handwritten, huge volumes that were very valuable and were contained within the churches. You didn't take this home and put it on the coffee table. You couldn't. And Gutenberg stepped up. Do you know what the very first complete book that Gutenberg's press printed was? The Bible. Now, it was written in Latin, and I have to, I was corrected after the early worship service. I've always thought that it was the German Bible. No, he printed the Latin Bible. But what that led to eventually, years and years and years later, was a German Bible. Do you see what happened? You took and you put it on the printing press where you could make multiple copies, and people could actually read it. You gave people direct access to the Word of God. This radically changed our entire Christian landscape between the Reformation and the access to Scripture. Radically changed it. Flash forward 500 years. Here we are. Now, I don't know that just exactly how things are going to change, but here's what I know. We are all children of God, and when we put on Christ, we clothe ourselves with Christ, and what that means is that there is no Jew nor Greek. There is no slave nor free. There is no male or female, there is no black or white, there is no yellow or brown, there is no rich or poor, there is no young or old, there is no gay or straight, there is no Democrat or Republican, there is no. We are all children of God. And we hear these words from Paul come thundering down to us again and again through two millennia that says, here we are. Now what? I believe in an unchanging God in the midst of an ever-changing, always-changing world. I believe that you and I have systems changes all the time. Your family is not the same as it was. Your work changes all the time. Your classroom changes all the time. Your community changes all the time. Your church changes all the time. These systems are changing. And this week, the United Methodists are going to enter into General Conference. And what I know is that 2 weeks from now, we're going to look back and we're going to say, well, that's different, but I don't know how. What I know is that our system is changing. And that we simply walk through it together. But here's what I do know. Whatever system it is that's changing with you, God is walking right with you. God never abandons us. God, in the midst of the changes, when our boxes are being enlarged, when our concepts of God are being challenged, when we are called to be faithful in the midst of changing systems, God's right there, walking with us. Strengthening us, comforting us, God's right there. So this week, I want to invite you into changing systems, because we together, believe in a never-changing God in an always-changing world. And it is in the midst of that that God meets us. May it be this week that you walk knowing the very living presence of God in the midst of a changing world. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord of love and Lord of life, we want to give thanks for your presence, your guidance. So Lord, guide us.